Dear Lord, please help us sort out all our questions on how you will progress. It is certainly a challenge understanding the way you think and do things. Please help us. Amen. Well, Ezekiel and I have been pondering this sudden talk of rapture and impending revival. Early on in the Lord's messages to us, he told me that big revival would come after the rapture. Then, as America started to wake up, we were given 3 years more, conditionally, that people would continue to wake up and pray, and a slight hint that there may be a revival before the rapture. Then Donald Trump was elected, and we thought for sure we'd be here for the second election. After all, he would need us Christians to vote him into office, right? Maybe not so right. God's thinking is different than ours, because the Lord has been very repetitive about the rapture happening soon in dreams, visions, and rhema words to Ezekiel, Carol, and I. We are looking at it from a different perspective. There are a lot of Americans who are still under the spell of mainstream Satan media. They are mesmerized. They are profiting from Donald's hard work for the economy, but still enjoying poking fun of him, ridiculing him, and turning a deaf ear to all the warnings about our iron and clay foot underground government. What if the Lord uses the rapture and world events to get this fence-sitting generation lit on fire? What if revival breaks out because of the rapture? And the iron and clay feet don't get to run the country into the ground right away with all their guillotines and concentration camps, because new Christians will work with the remnant and we will overcome all the evil Obama put in motion. What if? What if Donald stays in as president for the first half of the tribulation and continues to drain the swamp? These are all unanswered questions, dear ones. I ponder them every day. I know we are in the season of the rapture. I know this is the last pope. I know Israel is a nation. I know Obama is the Antichrist, and all the signs of the end times are here. I know Nibiru is a planet loaded with hordes of demons and may reach maximum impact on Earth. Not bumping into it, but the impact that it will have on the earth between 2020, only 1 year away, and 2035. But it also is warming the earth's waters because of the accelerated volcanic activity under the oceans. And 7 and 8 point earthquakes are common now and will increase. Superstorms are on the increase, and it's not all Tesla technology manipulating it. Our Earth's axis is shifting. The molten mass is shifting, and we are responding to the influence of the supersized brown dwarf star and its satellites. Nibiru. I know that the Lord said in one message that there would be unprecedented revival because nations all over the world would follow President Trump's lead. So how does World War III and the rapture fit into this? I thought we would be here to enjoy and take part in these revivals, but we just can't shake the feeling that things are going to begin very soon and we're not going to be here. The believers who will be raptured have been fighting long and hard to steady the ship straight on its course, to lay the groundwork for those who will be swept up in massive conversions after the rapture. Now it is time for them to come home as others take their place and grow into extreme holiness, because that's what's going to be necessary to get through this. And here's an interesting note on the last Trump from John Ankerberg. When you study the Roman army and some of the Greek armies and even the Jewish army back in Bible times, when they went into war, they had a last trump that would be blown that would tell the fighting men, Your time of fighting is over. It's time for you to go home and rest. Alas, Trump ended their time in warfare. By analogy, the scriptures teach that Christians today are involved in a spiritual war while they live out their lives in this present age, in this present world. When the rapture takes place and the trumpet is blown, at that time, that will be the signal for them that their part in the warfare is over. Their fighting in this present age is done in this spiritual war. It is time for them to go home, to be with the Lord, and rest together with Him in heaven. Now, I really believe this had come to me earlier today, and then it was confirmed by this gentleman, John Ankerberg. I really believe that that last trump has to do with calling us home and telling us, okay, you've been fighting long and hard, time to go, and your replacements will be coming in soon. So I thought that was a very, very interesting insight that he had and that the Lord tossed around in my mind today. And somehow I see the significance of our President Trump as being tied in with this prophecy, if only in tongue-in-cheek by the Lord, meaning Trump's takeover of our nation is a sign that the rapture will happen within his administration. And the Lord is playing him as his last trump card to fight the iron and clay feet, to give more time for the lost Muslims to come to Christ. All I can tell you, my precious family, is that I'm waiting to see how he's going to do things. What I once thought was the nice, easy, linear way that made sense has been scrapped, because right now it doesn't make any sense in light of the ramus that we're getting. What I can postulate that might happen is that the deep state pulls off an attack that sets us at odds with the rest of the world, or is the start of World War III, or the comet comes on the heels of something and the Lord raptures his bride. The fence sitters wake up and line up with President Trump and fight the iron and clay feet with a vengeance. Then at the halfway mark, the president is out of office and Obama takes control of the last 3.5 years for the Great Tribulation. That would correspond to the intense effects of Nibiru between 2020 and 2035. Of course, the Lord could send Nibiru happy on its way when he returns around 2027 and the millennium commences. That's my best shot at conjecture at this point, taken from what Jesus has told us. This is not something the Lord told me. This is my human mind trying to put things together. So Jesus began to answer my question about what will happen after the rapture. He began, "There will no longer be any gray areas between the world and my kingdom. The lukewarm will rise up into their destinies, overcoming all the lapses and failures of the past. The foundation of the rapture will prove my word is true, and they will stand rock solid on everything it says, down to the last jot and tittle. They will have seen a great wonder, such as the parting of the Red Sea, and this will give them a solid bedrock of faith. Although there will be defectors and those with weak consciences who will return to worshiping Baal," in other words, being part of a system. "My remnant children, you must get your appetites under control. You must. You will make many foolish and dangerous choices because of your stomachs and your attraction to the opposite sex and vanity and things that will entrap your souls. Claire has struggled mightily with these all her life, and with age comes wisdom. But you will have to overcome these attractions and desires the enemy will play you with, without the benefit of age and possibly wisdom. You must get your flesh totally submissive to the Spirit. If you do not do that now, when the mark comes, you will fall and lose your soul. That means you will never see your mothers and fathers, pets and relatives again, Your eternity will be in hell, being burned and tormented. When you receive the mark because you didn't trust me to heal your child, you didn't trust me to provide food, you wanted to be part of the flourishing crowd, someone important. When you do this, the mark will destroy the part of your brain that responds to me, and you will become like an animal. Next, as the tribulation progresses, they will do away with you through this. But first, you will suffer unthinkable torments all over your body. You will seek to die, but death will escape you. I am telling you this now so you can begin to get your priorities straight. If you can control your impulses now, it will not be so hard and dangerous for you later. And yes, President Trump will be part of the remnant. I have overturned what was to be the most tremendous suffering for this nation and given it back into the hands of my people. However, there will be constant fights and attacks launched against America from the underground government as it fades away, and many sorrows. The best preparation for this is a clean conscience and being reconciled to me, as well as knowing my voice, listening to my instruction and obeying it without a lapse of time or gloss. Herein lies your victory. Many will be martyred, but count it all joy, because that very day all the woes of your life will end, and you will be with me in heaven. So do not fear that day. It is true that the living will envy the dead, but do not die with the mark. What will you need? First and foremost, a relationship with me, not just a shallow prayer, bless me, a rhema, but a communicating relationship with me and your Bible, so that I can convey to you what is important, what is a trap and foolish, and what is a waste of precious time and resources. The ones who succeed in this time will be the ones who hear and obey. Without hearing and obeying, your chances of survival until I come are very, very slim. You will not be prepared for the tactics that will be used on you, especially the betrayals, the wolves in sheep's clothing. Discernment will be key. My mother has a great gift for teaching discernment. Rely on her prayers and you will not easily be fooled. That is, if you are listening very carefully. Those who run for a word and run off are not deep enough with me. This, too, needs to be a solid relationship. You will be wise to enlist the angels and saints, and especially my mother, to help you, not only in discernment, but in dangerous times when you don't know what to do. When you feel like you've blown it too badly to ever face me again, go to her and ask for her prayers. She will pave the way. If anyone keeps my word, they shall never die. It's in the desiring and keeping the word in your heart and wanting to live it with all your heart that preserves your soul. As an aside, I get quite a few remarks from people who are afraid that they won't be raptured because they can't live up to what they feel are the right spiritual standards. And they are the right standards, and they just aren't strong enough. But I ran across the scripture today, and it suddenly made sense to me in a way that I never understood. This is John 8:51. If anyone keeps my word, they shall never die. Now, what I see is that it's in the desiring and keeping of the word in your heart, wanting to live it with all your heart, that preserves your soul. Not necessarily being able to completely live it without failing, but wanting to live it without failing. But the distinction is truly wanting to, which means when you fail, you truly grieve. Make believe wanting to won't cut it, and the Lord surely knows the difference. Jesus continued, Claire, you have a large audience of young people who will be overcomers in the tribulation. That is part of the meaning of the vision that the pastor had of you in the forest with a torch, leading the way for multitudes of young people. And the torch all of a sudden became a very bright light. Young people were carrying torches that were not lit, but they lit them on yours and went off to different parts of the world, carrying the message. I asked the Lord, well, when did the brightness come? And he said, the day you began on the internet. Young people came with their torches to light them, and truth carries its own anointing, because some of those who left for no good reason at all have come back with other names, too ashamed to admit they were wrong and are still with you. Others are being held captive to lies and have ceased to grow into what I wanted them to be. Pray for them. They are lost sheep. Pray they will return. And I do. Every day I pray, holy angels, please go out and seek the ones that have been lied to and stolen from the channel and bring them back. Jesus continued, but that is not the point of this message. What I am wanting to tell you is that your mission was to tell them what you learned from me, from my spirit, and from the movement of my spirit in all denominations. Just because they do not have all my early church has does not mean that they are not in my body. I wanted you to do this, both in writings and in song. That is why we are pressing in. You just don't get it, that there's some indescribable quality about your voice that opens the heart to truth. I'm trying to get it, Lord. I'm just going to keep obeying until I do get it. Good girl. You won't regret it. In any case, you are preparing a whole generation to survive in glorious holiness, the tribulation. And for you, my children, who are left behind, you will be an army of believers marching shoulder to shoulder against the forces of Antichrist. You will do great exploits, although some of you feel that you are great cowards. I will in that moment make you mighty in courage. You have been fed some solid manna on this channel, and it has laid a foundation no one can refute. That is why I am bringing forth the weapons you will need when Claire is gone. Those of you who follow the truth and march to my rhythm know my voice and have received the teachings of my early church, which also can be sought out with the church fathers, who taught many things that were omitted from the scriptures, but valuable things nonetheless that are based on the scriptures in its purest form, before the world got a hold of my church and defiled her. You carry in your hearts the minds and seeds of my church when I return to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And it's funny because I wanted to say 1,000 generations there, but I'm sticking to scripture, so I said 1,000 years. You will grow into true holiness with these seeds. You will teach them to others, and they in turn will grow and teach. And I will call you to myself in Jerusalem. And you will come and go from my presence familiarly, because you have been raised up by my mother's influence through Claire. You have been formed in meekness and brotherly love. Did I not say the meek shall inherit the earth? Oh, there is so much you have learned here that has laid the foundation for my church. Cherish these teachings and do not allow the educated ignorant to steal them from you. You are to remain simple and childlike and not enter the great halls of learning in order to be garnished with man's accolades. No, your authority and wisdom do not come from any man, but from me. And this is the way I taught my apostles, not by expensive classes in universities, but by living the example of my ways and living the message of my love. The greatest force to be reckoned with is my love. If you are living in my love, nothing shall be impossible to you. And it goes without saying, faith and love. So it is of the greatest importance that you cut away all actions motivated by any other concerns to make way for the infilling of my love, which is everything and is not taught in seminaries. It is love that caused me to stretch forth my arms on the cross, and it is your love which will willingly do the same in order to live a life crucified to the world. This is why I tell you now, circumcise your hearts and minds now, so you will have less of a struggle coming into the glorious appointments I have for you. This will indeed make you look very lowly and foolish, but will bear copious fruit and set the deep foundation you need to withstand the high winds you will encounter as you grow taller. I have called you all to this channel for a very good reason. You are here because I am preparing you. Those of you who have run the race all these years are going to your reward, and the others are here to prepare the next generation and do great exploits against the evil ones. Your experience with these will give you great wisdom to pass on at the end of the millennium. You will be combating an army of artificial intelligence and soulless forces. Many who will animate Antichrist's army will be without souls. And when he said this, I saw factories filled with row after row after row of human-looking artificial intelligence, those who were human in form but without a spirit. Jesus continued, "Yes, technology has gone far beyond what you are aware of. There are underground cities with whole colonies of soldiers without a conscience, trained for a time such as this to kill Americans. Press in, my dear ones," the Lord continued. "Use what you've been given. Remember that love is the greatest force, and you are not alone. I am with you. The cloud is with you. The angels are with you. And so is my mother with you. Everyone in heaven has a purpose they've been trained in, to help those on earth at this time. What a shame that so many of my people refuse to use what I've given them. But through your example, many will come to recognize the value of the great cloud. I love you. I am with you. Fear nothing." And that was the end of his message. And I just want to take a moment to thank all of you who have been contributing to Heart Dwellers. It's very much needed and appreciated. We have a lot of very poor people coming to us right now, people who have had surgery or have lost their jobs. And it's really amazing. And we're able to substantially help them because of your kindness. I want to thank you so very much for that. God bless you.